Andy, how's it going this week?
It's going, yeah. It's kind of been like a frustrating week for me where it's a lot of writing and I am a slow writer, which I've told you before. And so like it just seems like a slog to get through it, but just working on a lot of evergreen like email automation stuff. So it's like important to spend the time and get it right. But when I'm in the middle of it, I am just looking for like any excuse to do something else. So I'm really excited to talk about something else right now.
How much writing are you doing? Like how many pieces are you trying to put out? Like what's the scale we're talking about?
It's nothing crazy. It's like probably a 5 email series that goes out like the first month, like right after the trial ends, like if someone is a paid customer. Yep. Kind of the emails that go out. But then a lot of what it is just like wrapping my head around what we should be sending, what I'm trying to ultimately get them to do. And so there's like a ton of planning just in terms of what we're going to be sending and all of that. And then as I get into it and start writing it, then I'll kind of throw a lot of it out and just go back and forth and kind of restructure what I'm trying to get them to do. It just like it's just a very, very messy process. But like, I feel like right now I finally am like, all right, like I've got what I need. Just need to kind of do another pass on the emails and just move on. So
nice. Yeah. Nice.
How things been on your end?
Fine. Yeah. I just, you know, a lot of the typical kind of ups and downs of the roller coaster that we're on. I did want to mention with your kind of email stuff, we redid our kind of sequence, our trial sequence, I should say, a handful of months ago and used like a charting tool to kind of like workflow everything out before we went into drip and found it like pretty helpful to say like from a conceptual perspective, like, okay, person starts here. If they do this, send them down this path. If they don't, send them down this other path. I'll have to find the name of it that Denise used, but it was pretty helpful and we could get in and collaborate on it and all this kind of stuff. So there's a couple of them that are like free that are pretty handy for that kind of stuff before. Like, cause I mean, like getting into drip and changing all that shit. Like if you put the email in the wrong place and you want to move it, like everything is gone. Like,
yeah.
So this was really nice in that respect.
That's like the downfall of like the drip workflows is like when you delete one branch and it's just like everything after is like,
I'm
gonna get rid of that too.
Yeah.
So you just create a lot of anxiety in me right now. Cause I hadn't even thought about the actual, like, I mean, I thought about the mapping of it, but I would just like push that off until probably this afternoon. So
I might
need to ping you and get that tool to save me some time and
yeah, sanity. For sure. We'll put a link to it in the show notes for sure. So from my end, and I think like the thing that we'll talk through today is we are kind of like having our first bit of turnover at Castos. So speaking of Denise Meckel from our group, who's really headed up marketing, has decided to leave to kind of pursue, you know, career opportunities in a whole different kind of industry and is leaving on very good terms. Everything is cool from both sides, I think, but is, you know, like we're a team of 8 people. And so when somebody leaves, it's like a big deal. Like a whole part of the company needs to be kind of re-examined. Like what's been going on here? Because like, you know, folks who listen to the podcast know that like I put a lot of trust in her and she really runs a lot of things very independently, but by design, like from my end. So yeah, I mean, I think what I thought would be interesting is to kind of chat through like the lessons that I'm kind of taking away and the things that we're doing to one, not like drop the ball, you know, and like us keep pushing with marketing, but then to like how to examine like what's working. Maybe this is like an opportunity to stop doing some things that we've felt like we needed to do before and just focus on like the things that are working. And I think that's what we're trying to do. So yeah, I mean, I have to say when she told me that she's leaving to go kind of do something else, I was like, fuck, this is a kick in the head. But like, I'm happy. I'm really happy for her. She's leaving to go to like, golly, how to explain it.
Before you call it like kind of the Soho House of remote work.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like a place, like a destination place where people can go and remote work. So it's work and stay and like, you know, food and all this kind of stuff, but like a destination type setup. And so obviously right now it doesn't exist, you know, with COVID, but I think we all kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel with COVID. So like they, I think, raised some funding and are looking forward to like everyone wanting to get out of the house, and really probably business in 6 months or a year will be very different for them. So they're kind of doing a new rebrand and all that. So she's going over there. And when she started working for us, she was traveling quite a bit and wants to get back to that. So totally cool. Totally respect that. But I think, like, once I got over the initial shock, the first thing was like, frankly, like, okay, what have you been doing?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, because I purposely have let her run with it, but really said, you know, please take these 2 weeks. She gave, you know, 2.5 weeks or something like that notice, which is cool. You know, said, please just kind of take most of the next 2 weeks to put down on paper, or just, you know, screencast, or, you know, create a podcast episode of all of the stuff you've been doing. Even if it's just like Google Analytics and tracking this and Amplitude and Drip, you know, just the big buckets. And then she's, of course, because she's super type A and detail oriented, giving me a really, really, really detailed breakdown of a lot of the stuff she's been doing. And so that's helpful for me to figure out like what to do with all that stuff from there.
What was the kind of the deliverable for that? Was it like a screencast? Was it a bunch of docs? Like, whatever you got, once you got from her, how did you go through it all? What was your process like there?
Yeah, so it's an enormous Notion doc, which is what I asked for. I said, just, you know, bullet points and sub bullets and details and screenshots if you want. And so that's kind of the thing that I'm going to, I hate to say run marketing from, but, you know, kind of reference my activities or our company's activities against kind of going forward.
How did you decide what to keep doing, what to stop doing, what to start doing? Like, what was the evaluation process of all that like?
Yeah. So a lot of it was you and I talked last week and I had a therapy session with you and it was great. And we should have recorded it, but I'm kind of glad I didn't. But I mean, you and I talked, I chatted with Rob, I chatted with AD, who's my mentor, and all three of you said about the same thing, which is cool, which is, like, we have tried a lot of things in the last year and a, you know, 15 months maybe that Denise has been on board. A lot of them are working. Some of them definitely didn't. So I think, like, I'm really grateful that she was able to, like, emotionally kind of go through the steps of all the things that didn't work, you know, and landed us at, like, we have two or three things that are working really well for us now. And so we're able to take this as an opportunity to really focus on those. We see just from data from, you know, Google Analytics and from our own metrics in the dashboard of like where people are coming from and what's working. And so now we can just focus more on those. But even within that, like some activities, like you've said, like a lot of marketing doesn't work and people feel like they need to do it. I think we fell guilty to that, like to a fair extent, and are taking the opportunity to like offload some of those things to like little micro experts, say like SEO or paid acquisition. Even copywriting, I think, is something that we won't, like, I think generally that we feel like we want to hire someone to, quote, take care of marketing. And that person, by definition, in a company of our size, needs to be a generalist. And the chances of that person being, and this sounds selfish, but I think this is true, like, for you and I and for most people that like get to the point of having a moderately successful business, like the chance of that person being as good as us at all of the things that you need to do is really slim, you know?
Right. And I don't even think it's us saying like we're amazing marketers, this and that, but it's just like we have such, I mean, we have the vision of what we're trying to do with the company. We've been with the product for so long and kind of just see how it all connects together. And that context is really what makes a difference, in my opinion, between decent marketing and great marketing. And it's just something that is so hard to teach where, yeah, it's just without that understanding, like it's just so hard to have marketing that actually like sticks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other thing about like things that we're doing and like choosing to not do is some of them are not things that need to happen all the time. You know, so like on-site optimization is a good example. Drip workflows, like you're talking about, like writing a new onboarding sequence for your trial series or after people convert to being a customer is not something you need to do, shit, even every year, every year maybe, right? Like, but not every month or quarter. And so I think what we're trying to say is like, we have two really big buckets. One is things that we do all the time, and those need to have somebody that owns them. And then the things that don't happen all the time, it's a perfect chance, I think, to have somebody who's better than me or better than Denise to take care of it on a kind of fractional basis, you know? And so, like, I think copywriting and writing an onboarding sequence is a good example. Things like SEO and keyword research are a good example. PPC is probably a good example, although that does happen on an ongoing basis, but it's so specific that I would want to have somebody own that going, you know, if we were to try it in earnest again. And so, like, we kind of laid things into those buckets to begin with. And then the things that we're doing all the time and are really core to like what we think are our marketing success channels, we're kind of finding who's going to kind of own them going forward.
And how has that shaken out so far? Like, what are the things that you're going to own that someone else from the team is going to own, the things that you're just going to stop doing?
Yeah. So, like, one of the, like, things that, like, you've said and other people have said is, like, I shouldn't be the one to own any of these on a regular basis. You know, like, coordinating with a person to do a thing that we do twice or three times a year, I can take care of that. But, like, putting out a blog post every week and coordinating with the writer is not going to be my responsibility. And so, like, fortunately, we have, like, Matt Medeiros on our team who came in as a success role, but really has, like, a marketing and sales background. And so he's going to be kind of pivoting to take some of that responsibility. And really, like, coincidentally, unfortunately, we made an offer to bring another support person onto the team pretty much at the same time. And so she's going to take some of the responsibility of, like, success off of Matt's plate so he can be freed up to own and think about some of the marketing stuff. But I would say, like, you know, if I had to break the buckets up, I would say maybe a quarter of the stuff we're just not going to do anymore. A quarter of the stuff we're going to outsource to, like, kind of fractional experts, and half the stuff Matt will take. And it might even be like a third, a third, a third. Like, I think we're just not going to do a fair amount of stuff because it's just not that it's not helpful, but it's not really helpful. You know, like, the return on it, if we had to quantify it, is probably pretty small.
How easily did you make the decision to stop doing those things? I mean, I'm guessing there were a couple that were more obvious than others, but were there any that were more difficult for you to say, yeah, we really just shouldn't be doing this?
Yeah, I think that, like, without being specific, I think that the lens that I tried to look at them through is, like, is this, like, a blue ocean kind of opportunity? I hate that term. It's like MBA kind of bullshit, but, like, if we keep doing this, can we just keep doing it forever? And are there potentially, like, infinite gains that we can make from it? As opposed to, if we keep trying to squeeze this rock, are we eventually just going to get nothing? We're basically stopping all of the, like, optimization stuff and just trying to get more eyeballs, you know, like, to generalize. That left a fair amount of stuff that we do as, like, not super important.
And just to make sure that I kind of have a good grasp on the sort of framework you're thinking about this through, when it comes to outsourcing versus doing in-house, it seems like the main dimension you're separating on is whether or not it's something that's, like, you're looking for things that are, I guess, easy to outsource, that are kind of siloed tasks, but also those projects that don't really require, like, ongoing expertise. So rather than getting in a generalist who can happen to do these dozens of things well, you're just going to find the best person for each of those tasks as they come up. Is that sort of how you're separating that out?
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
How are you taking that kind of mentality in using that as you go forward? Because I feel like this is something that I fall victim to a lot, and maybe it's just, like, the natural way of doing things, but it's like I will kind of go through a spring cleaning like you had to get clear on priorities, but then, like, months and months will go by where I get deep in the weeds again and maybe get pulled down to too many directions that I shouldn't, too many paths I shouldn't have gone down, and just have to kind of, like, rinse and repeat the process. But is there a way to just kind of, like, use this to keep you on the right path more consistently? Or do you feel like it's going to be just something where periodically you have to just kind of prune?
if I'm idealistic, it'll be the first one. If I'm like honest with myself, I think it'll be the kind of thing where, because I already, like, even this week, I find myself spending more time in marketing, you know, and so like it's already kind of sucked me back in, which is fine, but that's definitely like a thing. And so we have talked a lot, and this is like a thing of like, do the things that only you can do or the things that you can do best. And so I'm really trying to say like, okay, if I'm going to spend more time in marketing, they're going to be super high leverage things I do. We're kind of exploring a whole new marketing channel, and I am going to be the one to run that because it's super high leverage. And so I think that, like, justifying it to myself, at least, like, that's a good use of my time. And so, like, if I have 8 hours in a day or whatever, for me to spend a couple hours on that, I think is worth it. For me to spend 30 minutes like formatting and scheduling a blog post in WordPress is not a good use of my time. And so, like, I'm trying to be really disciplined about not doing any of that stuff. And we'll see. I mean, I hope you can like keep me honest and we'll check in on this stuff. But like, I think we'll see about how that goes long term. But that's the plan, is like, I want to keep really disciplined about doing super high leverage stuff. And I mean, marketing is like one of the things that I do well. And so just doing more high leverage stuff in that is, I think, a fair use of my time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you think about that same principle of focusing where you have the most leverage and focusing on what you do best? Do you think about that from the perspective of your team? Because I mean, like on the first level, it's like, you got to get the shit off your plate that slows you down and prevents you from doing the highest leverage things. Like as a founder, as a CEO, like that's number one priority, is just making sure that you are really in the highest leverage spot that you can be. But it trickles down as well. And like for Matt, like, are there going to be times where it's like, oh, like he probably shouldn't be scheduling blog posts either? How do you think about that? Or is it something where it's just taking it one step at a time?
Yeah, I definitely think about that. When Matt started, he was editing the podcast episodes that he was doing. And I was like, no, like we literally have a team of people that are professionals at this, and it's free. Well, it's not free, but you know, it's a little bit of everybody. Like it's Matt. And of course he gets it, because like he's owned a business before. It's Jonathan, like our lead developer, and how he works with the other developers on the team to say like, hey, you shouldn't have to write that spec doc. You should have a conversation with the other developer. They should write the spec doc and give it back to you, and you give comments on it. We try to like have that trickle down, and it's cool. I mean, I think we as like the leaders of the company should be grooming the other kind of, say, divisional leaders to start thinking like that. I mean, ultimately, we all have to do shit that isn't ideal, right? But I think that everybody should be conscious of it.
Do you have an assistant?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm looking at. Yep. I actually just got an email from Support Shepherd. I don't know. You know, Marshall Hawes is the guy behind it. Yeah. So I am going through the process of looking at getting an assistant. That's a very soft commitment, I know. But I think that the reason that I'm warm to the idea is that it forces me to be disciplined about some of this stuff, right? Because otherwise I'll have this person that I'm paying and they have nothing to do. If I can't be organized about like, okay, I don't do that, you know? So like when the blog post comes or this email outreach comes and I want to coordinate with somebody, that's the job for the assistant, you know? And I have to have a process, and I'll make the process once and then they run the process going forward. How about you? Do you have an assistant, or have you worked with one before?
No. And it's like the idea of it seems amazing to me. And then yeah. I'm always like, oh, I don't actually know what I would have them do, which I'm sure is like very common thought process. Like there's so many times where I'm just like caught up in just minutia, things that like have to get done, but I don't think I really need to do them. But like, it doesn't make sense for me to hand them off to anyone on the team. And yeah, I mean, I've thought a lot about it recently, but I really think for me to succeed with an assistant, I need to like have a lot of handholding on it, of like help on like, here are the things that they can help with. And like also just needing someone who is, I don't want to have someone who can like, is only experienced enough to like follow like a very well documented SOP, because like I don't have the time, like especially for like one-off things, it doesn't make sense for me to like figure out a process for it when it comes up so rarely, if ever again. But also it's like we're running into this a lot as we expand our development team, is just that like every new person we bring in, there's just a lot of management overhead in terms of like specing things out and like reviewing the work and then like all of those other like pieces to it that take away from like our own work. And I'm just kind of the things I would have an assistant work on are too mushy for me to like think it would work right away, where like I'm just pretty confident that it would be a lot more work for me up front, and I just don't even know what they would do at the end of the day. So it's like I want it to work, but I'm just kind of like, I'm not as good at being like self-aware of like the minutia. I just know when at the end of the day, I was like, oh, I was busy all day, but didn't get much done. But like nothing jumps out at me as like, oh, this is something that someone else could do for you. So how far into the process are you?
Oh, I sent them a message. They asked, you know, kind of specifically, what did you have in mind for this person to do? And I wrote them back a handful of bullet points. And they said, yep, we definitely can help you with that.
Okay. So yeah, okay. You're an expert then.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are the things that you're looking for them to do?
That's a good question. So yeah, talking about leverage, I think one of them is, formatting blog posts and getting emails ready, at least for us to review, you know, and hopefully get to the point where we can just have like a Notion board or a Trello card or whatever for like the things we want to put in the email this week. And then that person goes and puts them into Drip or into WordPress. Because I mean, that stuff just takes whatever. It doesn't take that much time, but it probably takes an hour to do an email or to get a blog post ready if you do it right. So just stuff like that, I think, is one of them. One of them is, and I've never done this, but people who have done it and have done it successfully say it's amazing, is manage my email. And the other thing is a little bit of like coordination with some marketing stuff, you know? So like reaching out for people to be on the podcast, reaching out for me to be on people's podcast in a like really super authentic, genuine way, you know? So like this person would have to know me really well and know the people I know really well. Those are like a handful of things that I would like them to do. That's pretty soft, I know.
No, but like, yeah, it's just, these are the things that I really struggle with, because I think when things fit into clear buckets of like, who is the person that can do this? Like, is there a specific role that can do this kind of thing? It's easier for me to think about delegating it. You see so many job posts or just people talking about hiring, and it's like, I've fallen victim to this myself. And it's just like, you create this role that tries to do like dozens of different things. And it's like, yeah, that doesn't exist. It's like a founder.
Right.
And it's like when you try to break it down, you're like, all right, like who can take this part? Who can take that part? I feel like I've done okay with that, but it's just like now all the shit in between just falls to me. And it just, yeah, it just seems weird to hand that off to like a single person when, yeah, I don't know. This is something I need to get better at thinking about. What was there like a specific thing that led to you saying, hey, I need to really look into an assistant?
It was like a question / suggestion from talking to AD. He has had one and, you know, just said it opens up a lot of your time to do that high leverage stuff. I think it's almost one of these like idealistic things, you know, like we talked in a previous episode about like, I want to run the company now, like when we're 20 people, you know, where like somebody owns every piece of what we do. It is like, I want to try to run like my involvement at work like somebody else can do all of these things, because that's ultimately what needs to happen, you know. It's like you need to have a person to do all of these things. Like another example, as you've been chatting, is payroll, right? Like payroll, like we use Gusto, so for our salary people in the US it's automatic. For all of our like Podcast Motor / Castos Productions people, it's kind of like by the unit, by the hour, by the episode. And like, I have to pay them all individually. You know, some of them are in PayPal. Some of them are in Payoneer. Some of them use Toggle for time tracking. Some of them send me an invoice. And it's just because like, they're all different places and have different rules and all this kind of stuff. And so like, this person should manage all of that shit, you know, so that I never have to worry about it again. And everybody gets paid the day they send their stuff in and all that. And I don't have to worry about it. And the other thing is like, we invoice some of our clients, our legacy Podcast Motor clients, like this person should track that stuff every month, you know? So like Becky keeps track of the usage. We send the invoice. If the invoice isn't paid, I never go and look at it, you know? And so like this person needs to own that. And they probably pay for themselves just in that every month.
Yeah, we'll have to dig into this more once you get further along in the process, because this is truly like the area that I'm most interested in, because it just, again, it just seems so obviously a high leverage thing to do, because it can free up also time from the rest of your team who's doing tedious stuff. But it's just still such a mystery to me. So I'm very excited to dig into this with you as you get further along the process.
And maybe it might not be stuff off of my plate, you know? Like you talk about like your team having like kind of maybe low leverage stuff they do. Maybe this person can work a little bit with other people too, you know? Like talking about specking out a feature, right? Like what if you had a conversation with this person, described what you want, and they go kind of write it in your spec template? I don't know. I'm just brainstorming. Like for me, that would be wonderful. That would be amazing, because like that's just the last thing I want to do.
Yeah, I feel like I have a long list of last things I want to do, and they fill up a lot of my day. But it's like, yeah, my only like concern is it goes back to, yeah, just finding that generalist who, it's just really hard to find someone who can do a bunch of different things. And then the flip side is like, is it feasible to have one person who can help out part-time on like all these different things and be available enough that like it works out? And it's just, yeah. And then also like, even if it does work out, you now then have like a ballooning team and there's just like a dozen people you have to like keep track of like doing these random things. And I don't know. I think that's where like sometimes for me, it can be easy. Just like, I'm just going to do this myself, even though it sucks.
Yeah. It might be that like I or we are talking out both sides of our mouth with this is that like I say, we don't need a generalist to take care of marketing, but want to have like little micro experts at the same time saying like, I want a person to take care of a bunch of this stuff. Like I think that might be being a little dishonest with myself, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just a question of leverage, you know, maybe can we offload some of the lower leverage stuff to somebody and keep high leverage stuff for me and the rest of the team and these contractors to focus on what they're best at? I don't know. Like, so I had a question for you, kind of going back to cutting out some of the things that aren't working and really reviewing that stuff, like in your past, like at Groove, right? Like when you look at like, okay, what are we doing? What's working? Like, did you have kind of a system for that? How did you kind of evaluate that on like a regular basis of like, okay, this is an initiative or a project that we're doing. We're going to try it. We're going to report on it. We're going to figure out if it's working or not. And we're going to, you know, do it or not do it in the future.
When I was at Groove, it was at a weird inflection point at the company where we effectively, like, I mean, the vast majority of leads came through the blog. There's some SEO work a little bit, but like it's just the help desk space is so competitive and from like publicly traded companies. So it's just like not a game you can really compete with easily. I mean, you kind of have to go higher up in the funnel to get some of that traffic without just spending a shit ton of money, either on link building or on pay-per-click. But yeah, so the vast majority of traffic was coming through organic search, kind of top of funnel content. And pretty shortly after I joined, we made the decision, Alex really made the decision to hit pause on the blog, because we were starting out basically launching what we called like Groove 2.0, which was a complete rewrite of the software and going in a different direction there. And the plan was during this pause, I would kind of go through and audit what we were doing, but really would just be like setting up better automations and just kind of filling in the pieces I felt like were missing in the funnel and just doing a lot of that heavy lifting. But as very large software projects tend to do, it just took a lot longer for it to get released than expected. And so it just kind of was, we weren't evaluating current things as much because it was either let's get the pieces in place that are missing, but we're not doing like active marketing per se. And then after we like got those best practices in place, a lot of it was, okay, what do we want to do going forward to really make sure we hit the ground running when we do launch Groove 2.0? So it's just kind of a weird spot where I was definitely thinking strategically on figuring out what to keep doing and what not to, but it wasn't as much of a, it was more of like a, from like the sideline, because like we had kind of hit pause on most things. So it's just a weird spot like that. So I guess it doesn't really answer your question, but that was just kind of, yeah, the situation there. And then, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's tough to make yourself take the time to look at this stuff like as you're going, you know? And so this is like, I want to look at it as an opportunity for us to take a step back.
Yeah.
And that's what it's been so far, which is, you know, that's the silver lining, I guess.
Yeah. And honestly, from that perspective, like, I think it was helpful for us at Groove, because if we had known how long it would take for 2.0 to be ready, we would not have hit pause on things.
Sure.
But given that we did, for like, there was literally nothing else to do. We wanted to get content ready. We wanted to put together some like bigger content projects and things like that. So some of our team worked on that. For me, my job was literally just to go through and fill in the pieces, but then help craft the strategy of like, what should we keep doing? Because as you're saying, and as I said before, it's like, it's really hard to be strategic like in the moment. It's just like, as you have all these projects going on, as you're coordinating with the team, as you're delivering what you're supposed to be working on, like, it's just very hard to kind of take a step back and look around and say like, hey, wait, like, where are we even going? And that's where we talked about it in another episode on decision-making. Like, that's where like, I try to usually give myself time to think, especially like, and it's not by like setting aside time to do this every week, but it's just kind of listening to myself. And like, if I have an idea on something, it's like saying like, all right, like, even if there's shit I have to get done today, take some time, write this out, write through it and figure things out. But yeah, for me, a lot of it is starting and stopping. And I think that just kind of has to be the way for most people who aren't like superhumans, to just constantly have discipline and constantly be going through this mental checklist of like, oh, is this meeting these goals and that and this? And I think you just have to either kind of through a shakeup and turnover, or by kind of waiting on a major release or whatever it is, or just forcing a pause. Like, I feel like that's the way to really get in and evaluate and get some more clarity. And like, wait a second, like, we're doing a lot of things. Why? What should we keep doing? What should we stop? And it's just, I don't see a way to do that while you're in motion.
Yeah. I think the sad thing is that it took this for us to realize that some of the things that we're doing weren't right, or we shouldn't be doing them or whatever. And I want to think about like what we do from a product perspective. Like, we are thinking about this all the time, right? From a product perspective of like, this button is in the wrong place, or this text says the wrong thing, we need to change it. Or just like, we're serving this customer and we need to think about serving this other customer. Like, I think we do a really good job of continually revisiting the product and not like our approach to marketing, for me at least, you know?
How are you feeling about things going forward?
I feel good. I feel like I am really glad that we have Matt in place to take over like a fair amount of this. That's great. And he's excited about it. I'm excited about it. It'll be a very different kind of feel for our marketing, like our voice, which is cool. I am very conscious of like me getting roped back into this too much. And I think that's the one scary thing. It's like, if I start spending half my time in marketing, then this has not been good, you know? Mm. So just trying to keep an eye on that.
Yeah. And I'll do my best to hold you accountable to that. And
keep me honest. Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
No, this is exciting. I mean, it's like we've said, it's sometimes shakeups, I don't want to say like they're a blessing in disguise, but at the very least, they help force you to reevaluate things. And it sounds like you've got kind of a good stepping off point from here. And I'm definitely excited to hear how it goes.
Yeah, cool, man. Well, I appreciate it. And I appreciate your help and your insights in chatting last week and through this is actually really helpful. So I'll see how things go. And yeah, definitely keep everybody kind of in the podcast here up to date with kind of where things stand. Thanks for listening. Any kind of questions or comments, shoot us a message and we'll see you next week.
See everybody.